favorite television shows of the 60s, you ask? That is a great question, because I am in the land where my favorite television shows of the 60s were made. That's why I get a bit of a chill here. I mean, I mentioned yesterday that A.E. Nock lived and worked for decades right down the road in East Los Angeles. And I'm going to go there, take a picture of his old house where he did all this epic work. But not only that, but the Three Stooges were filmed not far from here. In fact, this isn't one of my favorite 60s shows, because the Stooges obviously were in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. But there are many locations that I want to visit here where the Stooges filmed, because these guys are some of my idols. That's right, I idolized Larry, Curly, and Moe, the holy trinity of comedy. But back to my favorite 60s sitcoms. One of them was Hogan's Heroes. And there's an old, the back 40 lot of whatever studio it was. It's now a shopping area. But in that triangle was some epic locations. Holy ground for me. One of them is the location of Stalag 13 in Hogan's Heroes. And another location was Gomer Pyle, USMC, where Sergeant Vince Carter was marching his troops down. That was right next to that. And then down the way a little bit, you can see this whole area from a hill. And I'm going to go to that hill and take a picture of this, because this stuff, I love this stuff. I love to see where these great events of my childhood. I was influenced by the Three Stooges and by the Beatles. I am who I am today because of Gomer Pyle, the Three Stooges, and the Beatles, and Colonel Hogan. And I'm going to stand at the spot where Mayberry was. Downtown Mayberry was in this same area. And I'll never forget the beginning of Hogan's Heroes. The guys were coming out of the barracks during the theme song. You remember the theme song? It went like, yeah, and the guys are coming out of the barracks, and one guy slips on the sand. This is one of my earliest memories, and my dad said, okay, whenever we wanted to watch that guy slip on the sand. My sister and I did in the opening credits of Hogan's Heroes with a theme song. So my dad said, well, you can watch that, but you're going to bed right after that, because Hogan's Heroes came on at 9. This was prime time. We had to go to bed. And so I want to go to that spot where that guy slipped on the sand. I know I'm a little crazy, maybe. But this stuff's so cool to me. Now, the temple is measured. Why is that? Because God is exact. Take a reed like a rod and measure the temple, says the Holy Spirit to John. And he does. A reed like a rod. A rod speaks of the iron rule. And so it's also a measuring instrument, but it also speaks of the rod by which the nations will be ruled by Israel. Now, this is my thought on the measuring. God is very exact. This comforts me. It's precision. Again, we don't have to worry about this. We're kind of sloppy and messy, and if God measured us, I think it would be a mess. We're saved by grace. We're special in that we are not measured. But the temple, everything is exact and precise. I thought about this yesterday. I think I ran this by you before, but I'm going to run it by you again. You know, God is working toward the fifth eon, and this thousand-year kingdom that we're being initiated into, that Israel's being initiated into in these latter chapters of the unveiling, is but a splash of time in the aeonian times, and God is going to finish what he promised Israel. But here's the thing, the whole purpose of Israel, this is going to sound bad, but I just about don't care. Israel's purpose is to be a guinea pig nation. God needed to teach people that human beings who are under his directives and who have an exact list of things to do will not be able to do it, because there is no one righteous, no, not one. And I've told you many times that this has to be learned by experience. So Israel is the, quote, test nation, the, quote, guinea pig nation. They had to believe they could do it, and so God puts them out there to do it, and they fall on their face. And so we all could have learned the lesson and said, thanks, Israel, we know not to try that. We know now that there's a better way. We'd prefer to be saved by grace. Thank you very much. You go on with the law. Well, here's the thing. They are going to go on with the law. God could have scrapped it and said, okay, lesson learned, done. But instead, he is so gracious that he's going to bring Israel, he's going to actually bring her into this kingdom he promised them, even though the whole promise had to do with teaching the world the inability of humanity to do the things of God. Flesh, read Romans chapter 8, is unable to do the things of God, to do the things of the law, and through law, no flesh at all will be justified, can be justified. The question then comes, then God, why did you bring the law? He brought it so that this lesson could be learned by practice. But instead of doing it on the whole creation, he picked Israel. He separated a nation. So you might think, poor Israel. Exactly, I agree with you. Instead of vexing the entire world with this little demonstration, because that's what it is, of the inability of flesh and blood to please God and do what he wants, he picks one nation. And we've often thought, boy, God's people sure are lucky. Sure are lucky to be born an Israelite. Sure are lucky to be Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Peter, James, John. Well, not really. They're the guinea pig nation. But since God is gracious, he's going to take these poor people who were used in this manner by him. Because here comes Paul in Romans 5:20. The law came so that the offenses should be increasing. He didn't tell Israel that at the time, and he couldn't. He kept that a secret. Paul tells us that so that we don't get this crazy idea. We're supposed to go back and do it. No, no, no. That was an example to the world that, you know, nobody can obey laws. But so poor Israel. Yeah, exactly. I think poor Israel. But instead of feeling sorry for them and saying, well, that demonstration's over, God wrings his hands or washes his hands. No, instead, he fulfills it. He fulfills it. He's going to actually set aside 1,000 years to make good on his promises. But it's not his ultimate goal. You think that's where he's going? You think that's the end of the program to fulfill this demonstration nation? To give this demonstration nation satiation and fruition of their frustration? No. Oh, one other place I want to see is the Bat Cave. I love it when Batman came out of his Bat Cave. Do, 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 do. I love the beginning of that when he fires up the Batmobile and he screams out of the Batcave. That Batcave is near here somewhere. I got to find the Batcave. I'm on a sacred quest, not for the Holy Grail, but for the Batcave, for Stalag 13, for downtown Mayberry. So Israel's going to fulfill, finally, and that's a mercy of God. So this measuring. And the worshipers are measured. This is curious. Rouse and measure three things. The temple of God and the altar and those worshiping in it. How do you measure worshipers? Do you count them? Do you get a height and a width and a weight? Is there some other way you measure them? Do you measure their character? I don't know. This is a mystery to me. I know. Give me a break. I know we've been telling you the revelation is an unveiling, but this one thing here, I don't understand, but let me take a ZPS. I'm going to take a ZPS on it, a Zender pot shot. And I will say that with Israel, everything is measured. There is nothing left to chance. There is nothing left to chance because there are laws, and Israel is going to eventually fulfill all these laws, all 613 of them. So they're really not going back to an archaic era. They are going forward into something they never successfully did, which was doing the law. And so they're measured, and I believe it's their character. He's not measuring their inseam. That would be embarrassing. He's not measuring their sexual prowess with a ruler. That would be embarrassing. He's not taking their hat size or their neck size or the size of their chest. He is measuring their character. He is measuring their devotion. And this shouldn't come as a surprise to us because God has always been this way with Israel. Measuring. They need to measure up because this is not an evangel of 100% grace. It's not. It's a mixture of law and grace. And so, again, the rod is used. It's not without discipline. Kind of reminds me of the fifth messenger with the feet of fire and the halo of clouds and the rainbow, the sun off the face. It's a mixture. We have a reed that looks like a rod. A reed would be the measuring thing, the rod suggestive of God's judgments. I'm tempted at the end of the week here, because this is Friday, is it not? 1, 6, 3, 2, 3. Yeah, this is Friday. The meeting's tomorrow. Yeah, I'm tempted to go into the time periods. Why does God sometimes say a season, and half a season? Why does he sometimes say 42 months? And why does he sometimes say 3.5 years? And why does he sometimes say 1,260 days? Because every time frame I just gave you is exactly the same time period. 1,260 days, 3.5 years, 42 months, and a season, and a half a season. Did I say a season? A season, yeah. Why does he do that? Because he is so finely tuned. He is so intricate. He is so expressive of different thoughts at different times that he has different words for different thoughts. And don't ask me to repeat what I just said. It sounded brilliant to me. I'll have to replay and listen, but I can't repeat it. All I can tell you is that some things are measured by the moon, some things are measured by the sun. And of course, on Monday, I'm going to explain that to you. In the meantime, and I'm also going to tell you about the meeting. But in the meantime, read chapter 11 on your own, or don't. You know, because I'm not one of these guys telling you to read the Bible through. You don't have to read the Bible every year. I think it's ridiculous advice. People apologize to me all the time, and they say, Martin, I just can't study like you. I'm not interested in reading, but I listen to your shows. I read your newsletter. I get so much from your teaching, and your teaching is all I get. And they feel guilty, like they don't read the Bible, because the Bible is boring. The Bible is hard to read. I understand that. I get it. That's why there are teachers. That's why I've been trained to do what I do, and you can get it in 5 happy minutes or 15 happy minutes on this show, things that have taken me years to study out. I don't resent that. I'm happy about it. I would love to study 10 years and give you something in 10 minutes and have you have the same knowledge I have. I love that. I love to labor for you. I love to sweat and I love to work. For some reason, I've been called to do this. Don't feel guilty if you haven't been. Don't feel guilty if you don't study to show yourself approved. It was Timothy God wrote to there, and he wrote to teachers. That's a decree for teachers, you know, not necessarily for you. I'm not saying I don't want you to read if you're so inclined, but don't feel bad for tuning on to martinzender.com. I'm not saying that to up my views or to increase my traffic to my website. I'm not in it for the numbers in this life. I'll peek once in a while to see how many people are on board, but I'm not going to be like David and take an accounting of my kingdom. For one thing, I don't have a kingdom. And don't let anybody tell you that I do have a kingdom. It's a joke. Somebody put my face on the Pope and thought that I was saying that I'm the Pope. Zender's the Pope. I actually love that kind of, I love that kind of thing. To me, it's entertaining. It's flattering. I'm the Pope. Yeah. Kiss my ring. No, that's hilarious to me for how wrong it is, but I'm amused by it and I have no problem with it, and I would actually encourage people to put my face on other kinds of bodies just for the humor factor, you know, whatever. It doesn't bother me because I'm busy teaching this so that you can get it and my happy little bits here, whether it's on YouTube here on the Revelation series or on the Roman series on my ZWTF newsletter. Thank you for joining me here in Southern California. I will be back from Southern California next week. Until then, have a good weekend.